Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing in our series looking at the church and understanding what it is and why we're here. And last week I started to look at the famous metaphor of the church as the body of Christ. And in that metaphor we see the need for unity and diversity. Last week we considered the need for diversity in the church as God calls and equips all people with different spiritual gifts. So there's no need for comparison, but we all need to play our part. This week we're looking at unity. So let me read from Ephesians 4, 1-16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been apportioned, given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God, of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So as I said, this week we're looking at the need for unity in the body of Christ. And as we do so, we'll consider firstly, how unity is created by the Spirit. Secondly, how this unity is between us, the church, and God, because Jesus is the head of the body. And then thirdly, the unity that is between us as members of Christ's body. So firstly, the fact that unity is created by the Spirit. When writing to the Ephesians, Paul reminds them, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are all united together because we all have the same Spirit of God living within us, binding us all together. This is a reminder to us that our unity comes not from human effort or power, but comes from God through the Holy Spirit within us. This is important for two reasons. Firstly, we cannot take pride in any unity that is created, because it is the Spirit at work in us that achieves unity. And secondly, we can take encouragement that the Spirit can bring unity even when there is no human way that unity can occur. If we look at the church during the time this was written, we can see Gentiles mixing with Jews, slaves and masters holding equal ground, men and women being treated with equality despite it being a time when women were second-class citizens. So all of these groups would not normally be associating together. They were on different levels. And yet, through the Spirit, they were brought together as one body under Christ. And so this brings us some encouragement that the Spirit can create bonds of unity, even when humanly we don't get on with someone. All that we need to do is be willing to let the Spirit work. The second thing to mention is that the unity of the body of Christ refers in part to our unity with God through Jesus, who is our head. Paul tells us that Christ gave different roles to us so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then again, he talks about instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We are united to Christ because of his work of salvation and reconciliation. Without our connection to Christ, the church ceases to exist. The body of Christ cannot function without the head, which is Christ. In the Old Testament, the imagery of the head, the word rosh, refers to either the chief, the ruler of something, like the head of a family. For example, in Exodus 16, these were the heads of their family. Or it referred to the beginning of something. For example, in Isaiah 40, have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? The word used for beginning is that Hebrew word rosh, which can be translated as head. Both of these understandings are appropriate here, as Christ is our ruler. We follow him, not anything else. Jesus directs us in this journey of life, through the word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through following the example of his life. Without our head, we would have no direction to follow. And Jesus is, of course, also the beginning of the church. He created the church and he continues to sustain and care for us, his body. We grow in and through Jesus. Through what Jesus did for us, he has reconciled us to God. We have unity with God because Jesus' death and resurrection took our sins and removed them, allowing us to be reunited to God. He restored our relationship by making us clean. This is why it is important for us to keep up our relationship with God, because if we allowed it to fade or we drift away from him, then we are no longer connected to the head. We are no longer guided by God and growing in him. How is your personal relationship with God? And as a cell of Christ's body, how is our relationship with God? How is his way being reflected in the way we live collectively as the church and individually as members of it? And then thirdly, unity refers to the unity between one another. Paul reminds us to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. These instructions are all part of Paul's urge for us to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Essentially, what Paul is saying is, if God's love is so great, if his salvation is so powerful, if God has granted such reconciliation, then believers should live accordingly. They should value God's love enough to be shaped by it. This calling Paul refers to is a calling that every believer has. It is not reserved for those who work in Christian ministry settings or for some elite group. It is a calling for all of us to live lives worthy of Jesus. Obviously, we get things wrong, we're not perfect, but it means that through the power of the Spirit, we must make every effort. And what does that look like? Well, Paul calls us to be humble and gentle. These are very undervalued characteristics today, but they were especially so during the time of the letter. Humility, or lowliness of mind, was the attitude of slaves, and so in Greek thought at least, it was considered a negative trait. But we as the church are to be humble and not think ourselves better than others. The famous quote from Rick Warren talking about humility is helpful to remember. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Humility is thinking more of others. Humble people are so focused on serving others that they don't think of themselves. And then similarly, C.S. Lewis wrote that the truly humble man will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. We are to be humble and gentle. Paul also calls us to be patient, bearing with one another in love. One commentator argues that the NIV translation doesn't fully encapsulate what is meant. He prefers to read it as putting up with one another in love. And he says, the Christian life is a life of putting up with other people, and this tolerance finds its ability and motivation in love. We all have habits, ways of being, that irritate and annoy one another. To be the body of Christ, we must learn to put up with each other's annoying habits, not from a grudging duty, but out of love for each other. Love is not merely an emotion, it is an act of will. The love we experience in Christ must be extended towards others. So we need to be patient and putting up with one another. And then Paul calls us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort can also be translated as to be zealous or eager for. Paul calls us to be zealous for the unity of the Spirit, or in other words, to be eager to work with the Spirit in creating bonds of unity and peace. So let's continue to pursue unity with one another with that sense of zealousness, with eagerness. So in conclusion, it is the Spirit that creates unity in the church. This unity is unity between us and God, because Christ is the head of the body and his salvation has reconciled us to God. Unity is also between each other as members of one body. And this means we need to be humble and gentle, patient and putting up with one another in love, making every effort, being eager to keep the unity. Let us show the world how Jesus overcomes every barrier and difference and stand united and loving. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you, recognizing that you have done so much for us, and you have united us to yourselves, to yourself once again. Lord, without you, we would be lost and still dead in our sins. But thank you, Jesus, that you came to earth, took on our sins, died and rose again, so that we could be restored and have relationship with you again. Help us not to forget or to take for granted the magnanimity of that truth. And Lord, we come also asking for your forgiveness for the number of times that we quarrel, we argue, and we do not show the unity that you've called us to. Lord, help us to make every effort to keep the bond of unity and peace through the Spirit. Lord, may we be willing to let you work to unite us together, even when humanly we do not get on. Lord, we pray for your uniting power, not just for individuals, but for the whole church. Lord, we want to see your church united and strong so that we can proclaim your word to the world. In your name we pray. Amen.